I'm Fast Eddie, believe it or not.
And I'm Digital Dave, and I do not.
Thanks.
I choose not to believe. I substitute my own reality.
That's right. I reject your reality and substitute my own. With us in the studio, we have NASA. Again,
NASA.
We love NASA.
Yep. They do cool things.
They do. And
but
they have a lot of rocket scientists.
Yeah, but they're not really in space. They're getting close, though.
Well, I like
that. They're up there on the fringes.
Listen, what they're doing is important here.
I'm not arguing that point.
And we are talking to Nils Larsen, Heather Miliska. Did I get that right?
You did.
Unbelievable. And Peter Cohen?
Cohen.
Oh, like the Cohen brothers.
Like the Cohen brothers, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
But poorer.
And, and you're all
you
involved.
Two airplanes, man. So.
You're all involved with the X-59 program, the Sonic Thump.
Yes.
Instead of the Sonic Boom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You guys have the plane flying.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Call it the Jimmy Durante? Because it's got a long nose.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's like 38 feet, I think, in front of the canard. And
we call her Penelope.
Yeah, don't doubt it.
Pinocchio.
The one
Penelope.
Question I had, you know, you have no forward view at all.
Right.
So you've got screens.
Mm-hmm.
Do you also have peripheral cameras so you get more of a natural view?
There are actually windows on the side, and it's a T-38 canopy, so you can see the side. The weirdest thing is probably taxiing.
Yeah, I noticed he doesn't do S-turns. I think we need to talk to him about that.
Yeah, it's because the cameras are not in the same spot. You know, there's one on the top, one on the bottom. The forward one, I think, is a little... you know, closer. So when you see the taxiway turn, you know, because if you look at my display, I have the upper camera, then the lower camera kind of stitched together. So you'll see the taxiway turn in the upper camera, then you'll see it turn in the lower camera.
Oh.
And then the actual nose wheel is, it's not really a nose wheel because nowhere near the nose. It's behind my, it's behind me.
so
and
it drives
so
funny.
It's the forward gear. So, I mean, if it's a 90-degree turn, it's not bad. You just look out the side like you do a big airplane and turn. But the weird thing is if it's smaller turn, say like a 30-degree turn, you got to watch everything go by and then go, about now.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. So.
Does the cameras have the little lines, you know, so you don't hit things like your backup camera?
No, actually, that's a good idea. We should talk to Randy about that. Yeah.
New feature coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Green, orange, red turn.
Yeah.
Beep, good beep, idea. Beep.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
But it does have all the HUD symbology and other displays that really give Nils, you know, and clues situational awareness of how the airplane is flying. That's not wouldn't really be possible with a window.
Right.
Okay. Now you've said you've had it up as high as about 1.4 Mach
1.4. 1.4 Mach, 55,000 feet.
Yep. Wow. Now that's design goal, or you want to go faster?
That is the design point. We do want to go faster to expand the envelope just a little bit more. So. You know, probably just a little bit beyond that, but not by much. We don't need to go too much further than that.
I remember from the forum, you have an endurance of about an hour and a half?
Depending on what, as we learned, depending on the altitude that we're going and how fast we're going.
Right.
Yes. So generally it's somewhere around, it depends. If we're going really fast, it's probably closer to an hour 15.
Okay,
but if we were going to ferry it across the country, we'd probably ferry more like a T-38 and be about 0.9, 0.95 Mach, and we might get 2 hours out of it.
I was going to say, that's a lot of fuel stops.
Yeah,
and you need a big runway.
Yeah, you do, because we want 10,000 feet. 12,000 is preferred. You know.
And how many airports have that are not fully commercial?
The weird thing is we were surprised when we started looking how many, 10 and 12,000 foot runways there were in the country.
Okay.
So we were, relatively, we thought we were going to have to go to all military bases, but that's not true. Yeah.
So I would think you'd want to do that just from a security standpoint.
Probably if it works. We'll see. It'll end up being when we travel across the country, it'll be a traveling circus. Because think of the tow bar.
Yes.
Because if you think about it, I sit 50 feet back and that forward gear is behind me.
Wow.
So we do have a tow bar. I don't even know. Do you know how long that tow bar is?
I think it's 80 feet. I keep saying we need to contact Guinness because I think we have a world record.
Tow bar?
Yeah. Well, there's a good thing to having a long tow bar. It's going to be very difficult to take off with it. It's still attached to the plane.
Yeah. It should be obvious. Yeah.
Would that thing fit in a C5? Because maybe that'd be an easier way to move it around.
I don't know. we'd looked at one point of like the Guppy.
If you take the wingtips off and the nose off, it will fit in a Super
Guppy.
You mean
the nose is still too long?
His nose is still too long.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Is it easy to remove, or do you have to go through some shenanigans?
It's not something that you want to do every day.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
If there was the right reason, you wouldn't do it to move the airplane across the United States, that's for sure. But
we do have
go
a spare nose. We do have a spare nose, believe it or not. Because that's part of the secret sauce to make that thump.
Doesn't
so.
Have a mustache.
So, yeah.
And glasses, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is that nose, I mean, obviously it's aerodynamic, but do you have that full of instrumentation as well?
Not really. I mean, there's a pitot tube, you know, at the end, and that is about as perfect a pitot system as you could ever get. How far out that is. So that's about all that's in there. The thing is all composite. I think it weighs, minus the pitot tube stuff on there, it's only about 350 pounds.
Wow.
That's not bad.
Yeah, no, that's not bad
at all. Because it's all composite. Yeah.
Hmm. How many hours you got flying this thing so far?
Around 12.
Well, that's a lot.
530 in the sim.
Have you had the opportunity yet in the airplane when you're at cruising altitude just buzzing along to sit back and say, wow, this is really cool?
We keep him busy up there.
I was going to say, there's no section of the test card that says, wow, cool time.
Yeah. Well, when I did the first flight, it was interesting. We had a couple of people remind me, both my wife and Magic Marlin, the guy who's our sim guy. And he said, don't forget, most test pilots never get an opportunity like this, let alone an X-plane. He goes, don't forget to savor and take in the moment.
Right.
And my wife said the same thing, and a couple other people. Mm-hmm. And you do get into the mission, and you're just rattling off whatever you got to do. But, you know, it was right before takeoff and then right after landing that you had to kind of sit back and take in the moment for a second while the, you know, ground crews run around the airplane and
make sure nothing's leaking and all that.
The magnitude of what, you know, what you were about to do and then later on what just happened.
Are you in a full pressure suit like the SR-71 guys wore?
No. Years ago, because this is designed around the backseat of a T-38, back when we were first doing this, I used to be a U-2 pilot, so they put me in a pressure suit mm-hmm. and then shoehorned me in the back of a T-38 and said, how's it work? And I was surprised that I could fit in the full pressure suit back there. The problem was the second you blew it up, you know, and I was like, yeah, this ain't going to work. So we wear the same thing that they wear in the F-22.
Okay.
So it's an ATAGS G suit and the chest garment, and then we have a helmet with a bladder in it, and we have a specially designed regulator that's 100% oxygen all the time. We use LOX. And if we were to lose pressurization, it just shoves O2 down our throat.
Right.
The vest blows up so that our lungs don't blow up.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
And squeezes the crap out of us while we descend. So, yeah. And there's no speed brake on this thing. There's no, I mean, getting this thing down from altitude
it takes a while.
Yeah, it does. It's like the U-2. It takes forever to get this thing down sometimes.
Yeah, mine's been flying down an hour ago. I'm still up here. Wow.
You're going to run out of backup battery before you run out of altitude.
Yeah, well, we had worried about that originally, but it turned out when we did the ground tests on our lithium-ion batteries that we ended up with more time than we thought, which was
good.
A great thing.
That's great.
That was one of the things we really worried about for our emergency procedures.
Now, the airplane itself is full of cameras. Do you guys have a GoPro stashed in the cockpit there?
We actually have one on each side that looks at the screens. So,
they don't
want to see you. We want to see that grin.
Well, it's funny because when we first were going to put the GoPros in there, they go, we don't want to see you. I'm like, they're not for us. But now public affairs is like, well, maybe we should put some in there.
That's right. You only have the one plane. There's no plans to build a backup or anything like that.
Just the one plane.
Plane. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So don't mess it up.
So we need to shoot it right.
Does the crew chief ever tell you, as you're getting suited up and tied into the airplane, don't break the plane?
You know, it's more... Clue and I joke around with each other. You know, he's the other X-59 pilot where, you know, if it breaks or whatever, no, I'm like, you know, he'll be, what'd you do to my airplane? Or I'll go, what'd you do to my airplane? So anytime something goes wrong.
Do you ever ask him for a stick of Beamans before you get in?
Now, to that, our old program manager before first flight mailed me a you know, a pack of Beemans.
Yeah. So, tradition,
I had it,
man.
And I had it in my pocket on the first flight.
Excuse me. Darn right.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, one other question here. If you do have an in-flight emergency, let's say the airframe breaks on the airplane, you can't control it. Do you have an ejection seat in this?
We do. And it's Martin Baker qualified. Same thing as in the T-38.
Okay.
And it's qualified up to 60,000 and 1.6 Mach, I think, or something like that. So faster than higher than we're probably going to go.
That's something I remember from yesterday. I was going to ask a question, and you answered it for me. You said that these design changes will not work at Mach 2? They only work in that Mach 1 region?
No. They will work the shaping technology that quiets the boom. It'll work at any Mach number. It's generally up to Mach 2. You can still build a practical airplane that is low boom. Beyond that, it just gets so skinny that you couldn't put any people in it. So,
oh, well. Yeah.
So we're Mach 1.4 because that's just what we could get to. That was fast enough, but it's just what we could get to. But future airliners could be faster.
Wow. Sounds good.
Have there been any surprises with the results that you've been getting?
Not really. I guess very few, which is a good thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't say any real surprises.
So it's going as predicted.
Yeah. I mean, you still have the standard. Yeah, the growing pains that you have when you're developing an airplane like that breaks and you have to go fix that. And, you know, because
and like the software changes that Caitlin was talking about yesterday, we get some of those that we kind of stack them up and we find the opportune time to put those in the
system. I love it. He gets in the plane, flips it on, and says, "Wait, please wait while we update your windows."
Exactly. You see the little thing going around
the software
in the
circle. Update,
nice. Yeah. All right. We want to thank you guys for joining us. We've been speaking with
Nils Larson, Heather Maliska, and Peter Cohen.
Of NASA.
NASA.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
Thank
this
you very
is
much.
Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.